It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and lived to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
And welcome to the first ever podcast edition. I think, were podcasts even around in 2004? I don't think they were, Judd.
It's a good question. If they were, it was a very few of them. I don't think there was a Timberwolves one.
So consider this a monumental moment in sports media. The first ever podcast recap of a Minnesota Timberwolves playoff series victory.
Wolves back.
The series that was so physical, the head coach is on the injured list. That's how physical this series was.
Wow, dude. Yeah, we'll see if there's an update. If I don't know if it's a, we were texting, if it's a broken leg or an ACL, but Chris Finch sacrificed his leg in a physical series to make sure that the Timberwolves came out with a sweep over the Phoenix Suns. Wow, the first playoff series win since May 19th, 2004. So many things to talk about here. It's a live Flagrant Howls on the Score North YouTube channel. And I think what stands out the most, let's just give flowers to Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns for coming up massively in this game. I mean, Anthony Edwards has just been surgical and precise and methodical in his decision-making the entire series. Yep. Karl was magnificent offensively in this game. 28 points on just 17 shots. He's grabbing huge rebounds all over the place. And Anthony Edwards with a 40-burger, just sticking threes right down the windpipe of the Phoenix Suns in the fourth quarter. About 73,000 lead changes in this game.
Oh, it's crazy. But,
wow, dude. Wow. A sweep over the Suns.
First of all, that's incredible. Like we both predicted the Wolves would win this series, so I'm not shocked by that. And I did think that they would have certainly a far better response once they lost the last regular season game couple weeks ago now. But that being said, let's start with Kat. I would argue that's the best game I've seen him play as a Timberwolf because of the stakes. And did you notice too? You know, this was Jim Pete was very upset about the officiating. I thought the officiating both ways was questionable at times.
Yeah, well, Scott Foster.
And Scott Foster.
Thinks that 18,000 people bought a ticket to watch Scott Foster tonight.
But there were times they let a ton of stuff go. And in this series, I think, by the way that the Wolves were trying to play, was difficult to officiate. But the thing that stood out to me was Kat tonight. Kat picked up fouls, and for the most part, you didn't hear a peep from him. I think I heard him slightly complain once, but it wasn't the woe is me, what are you doing to me, why is this? And for Karl to play that game, he's had certainly a better box score. He has certainly had, you know, more points, a lot more points, but I don't think I've ever seen him play that complete of game. And it was sort of the cherry on top, in my opinion, for a series in which he played his role magnificently. Tonight, I thought he played a starring role.
Yeah,
he did not play a starring role necessarily in other games, but I got to give him credit. I don't know if someone sat him down before the series. I don't know if he just had an epiphany, but, and we'll certainly talk about Ant, and Ant's off the charts. But for what Karl did, a lot of the criticism that we brought, which I think has been justified, for what he did tonight and for what he did in this series, my God, that is how you help your team win a series.
Yeah, he was... So 39 minutes for Kat, and just in terms of offensive efficiency, he only missed 6 shots of the 17 he took, 4 of 6 from downtown, just launching huge threes. And they needed it because, man, like Rudy Gobert picked up 2 fouls in the first. I think he came off the floor with 8:20 left in the first quarter. And then he picks up his fourth foul less than a minute into the second half. And so, you know, they were playing shorthanded with their bigs. And so you needed Carl to play about 40 minutes and you needed offense and some defense. So, yeah, it is. I mean, I'd have to comb through some of his other playoff games, but just off the top of my head, you know, there was the playing game against the Lakers where he kind of carried the Timberwolves for the first like three quarters of that game. But I agree with you, man, considering the stakes, hey, chance to clinch this thing, close it out, third series win in franchise history, first in 20 years, put your stamp on it.
Yep.
On the road. Phoenix is desperate. They were engaged. They had not booked tee times yet. That team was very much looking to win this game and bring the series back to Minnesota. The fact that Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, you knew this was going to happen at some point, that those guys would just break out and be the Hall of Fame players that they are, combined for 82 points. And man, like every time you look, I said, man, Devin Booker's up to 40. Kevin Durant's getting whatever he wants. And the Suns are still down by three. It had been pretty demoralizing for them, but I think you're right. Like top of my head, probably the most impressive playoff performance from Cat, just considering the stakes and the circumstance.
And the Wolves too. The thing about this series is there were definitely times when Ant basically became Super Ant, and that's him, and that is awesome. But you know what really struck me? How many guys at different times and junctures stepped up? First half. Jaden McDaniels tonight was spectacular. Absolutely spectacular. You know, until the fourth quarter, Mike Conley was having an awful game. And so other guys stepping up, McDaniels, Cat, it's just on Friday, you know, Nickeil Alexander Walker, second half on Friday, spectacular. So it's like, yes, having Ant is enormous and that's awesome. But you also need the rest of the team around you, at least certain guys at certain points, to provide. And that's what stood out to me. And the other thing that really impresses me, I'm not sure what your impression or your feelings are about this. The other thing that really impresses me is there were a large portions of this series, and I would say particularly in first halves, that were really ugly basketball. Like they were close. They were fun to watch, but it was playoff basketball. It wasn't like aesthetically pleasing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at every step of the way, the Timberwolves, if nothing else, I either like tonight went into the corner of the ring and just exchanged haymakers with the Suns, or they pounded them. To me, that's so impressive because this team, I mean, how many teams in this town have we called soft, right? This is the 180, the antithesis of soft. This is a team that wants to go into the corner and pound you, and I love that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Wolves kind of thrive when the game gets weird and messy and transition-y and 50-50 ball-y. And the Suns just, like, this was the best that the Suns fared in any of the games in terms of just, like, getting comfortable with the uncomfortable. I thought the officials, I don't know, like... Some people, I don't know, I'd have to go verify this, but some people said that when the officiating crew was announced, it was Scott Foster, like this morning, that the line moved 3 points in Phoenix's favor.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And it did feel at times, I mean, Devin Booker, what was the final tally? Shot 21 free throws in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I echo what Jim Pete said, which is I don't love coming on these shows and this microphone either and talking about officiating, but it's like, okay, really? So the Suns... In a game that they have to have, it'd be nice for the TV networks in the league to get an extra game or more out of Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. And here comes Scott Foster, and they're going to shoot 36 free throws. But that's the crazy thing about this Wolves team. On a night where the Suns shoot 36% or 36 free throws, 39% from three, and their two star players combine for 82 points, and the Wolves win the game anyways.
Right.
Like, it is... And you could point to some of the other games in the series, too, and say, oh, yeah, well, the Wolves had Naz Reid didn't do anything. And Mike Conley went, you know, 1-for-10 or whatever. And they still like, I don't think the Wolves played a flawless game in this series, but they're just so overwhelming defensively. They make it so hard on anyone and the Suns in this series. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Anthony Edwards. I told Kyle this over the weekend. I think it was yesterday's podcast that. people wanted us to re-rank the players in this series, because before the series, I think we had all kind of said, until proven otherwise, the best two players in the series are Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. And this is a chance for Anthony Edwards and others to sort of take the crown, right? But you got to go through these Hall of Fame players first. Is there any doubt? Is it a hot take reactionary right after this series to suggest that Anthony Edwards, forget about the series rankings, like in the NBA player pecking order today, mm-hmm. that Anthony Edwards has passed both Kevin Durant and Devin Booker?
No.
I don't think that's a hot take.
No. I mean, I would say this right now. In watching what he did, and it, not just what he did, how he did it. He had 9 points in the first half tonight. Was that game one where he got off to a points-wise very marginal start and scored, what, something like 31 in the third quarter? No, I think he has moved into – I think now when you re-rank the entire league in the coming months after the season's done, he could easily move into the top five.
So, yeah, that's – Kyle and I took the exercise – almost to that point. And we said, how many players in the league right now, if everyone's healthy, are definitively better than Anthony Edwards? And I said Jokic, I think Luka Doncic, Giannis, if he's healthy, but increasingly he's just having a harder time being healthy.
Right. No, that's true.
And I still say Jason Tatum. I mean, Jason Tatum's been in some bigger games, but I don't know how much longer the list is beyond those guys. And you could even fight on Jason Tatum. Like if we're going to get the version of Anthony Edwards we've seen in the playoffs.
That's what I was just going to say. So let's redo the question to this. In the most important games, who are the five players in this league you want the most on your team? So I'm not talking body of work, hey, regular season. I'm talking, and look, this is how many times on Flagrant, at least when I've been on, during the season, did we talk about this very thing, which is, well, Anthony Edwards doesn't get his respect. Okay, that's true at the time. But what's it going to take? It's going to take going into the playoffs and just asserting yourself.
He's go done take that it. Now. Go take it.
But he did. So, take like, your now, respect.
Yeah. And, dude,
who do you want more? Like, who are you going to definitively say, give me him before Ant in a game, whatever the playoffs?
You know what he kind of is? He's a better version of playoff Jimmy Butler in some ways. Like he's a more well-rounded overall skilled player. He plays clamps defense. He makes the right decision seemingly in this series on almost every single possession. He even stopped with like the heat check threes that he takes in the regular season to just make the right pass, the right dissection, the right probe, find a guy in the corner. So like 49-6 on 13 of 23, 7 made threes and clamps defense and in a clinching game.
And 15 points in the third and 31, so 16 in the fourth in a game in which he had 9.
Yeah.
What you know what? I think what encapsulates him perfectly is what he said on Scott Van Pelt's show after the game on Friday. Mm-hmm. I want to kill everything that's in front of me. Mm. You know, forget Butler for a second. The mentality is really Kobe.
It is. He's a little more of a fun-loving Kobe.
Kobe, right. But when he gets in the zone, you can see the look in his eye. But, I mean, he's got that Kobe gene of, I am going to competitively rip your heart out.
Yeah. And, you know, listen, like I said this to Kyle yesterday, too. I was clearly wrong about the Suns as a playoff opponent. I had the Suns ranked number one. I guess you could look at it two ways. I had the Suns as the number one team that I would prefer to not face based on what we saw in the regular season.
Right.
It just felt like a funky matchup. The Wolves clearly had some adjustments and another level or two that they tapped into. The Suns didn't. And it kind of felt like even after game one, it was like, oh, the Suns don't have many options to counter here. I mean, Grayson Allen going out was a big deal.
Right.
So, but there's two ways to look at this. Number one, those of us who thought the Suns were a terrible first round matchup were wrong, and or maybe we all need to reevaluate how far the Timberwolves can go here, because they just made quick ass work of two Hall of Famers and a team that nobody wanted to face in the first round. Now, if the Nuggets close out the Lakers, that second round series is going to be a war. I mean, that's like a Western Conference Finals caliber series.
Yes.
And Denver probably would prefer to avoid the Timberwolves until later in the... But this is kind of house money now at this point. Like, the Wolves just won their first playoff series in 20 years. They won 56 games in the regular season, a three seed or better for the first time in 20 years. And they've kind of like checked the boxes for a successful season, and they don't have to feel a ton of pressure playing the Nuggets, which could make it even more interesting.
Yeah.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad. Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts, or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
A Finchy update from Shams.
Oh, boy.
Breaking news. Timberwolves coach Chris Finch is feared to have a torn patellar tendon in his knee after the late game collision.
Sacrificed his body for all of us.
Well, he's going to have to coach from a chair, basically, is what I think is going to have to happen.
He can still sit on the bench there, right? If he just shouldn't stand up.
Well, unless they won't. Oh, he can't. No, he should not stand up. But I mean,
can he sit in his normal seat and just?
Well, that's what I'm wondering is like how they're going to situate.
No, he probably can't because his leg's going to have to sit.
Yeah, so he's going
to have to sit in the second row probably and like tuck his leg.
He actually for home games could sit right by us up there because he wouldn't get hit.
Yeah, the media row. Well, it's a little crammed. You can't like extend your leg though. That's the problem.
Well, that's bad news. But you know what's funny about this team? So I think Wolves fans largely are going to feel like what you just said is true. I don't think this team for one second is going to feel like they've done anything. Like these guys, there's a mission here.
Mike cut Posh says, quick. Just cut the leg off. No, it's quicker recovery.
No, no, Mike. Old people, you can't cut the leg off. Young either. But if you look at how this team appears to be wired, that's what I love about this team. And yeah, you're right. The Nuggets series would be an absolute war, 7 games. But this is going to sound really weird in some ways to say about this franchise just because it's the Wolves, but it's such a different team. I think they're up for it big time. I think these guys are going to attack it. And to be honest with you, Finch's predicament is only going to provide more, if this is a possibility, motivation.
Like win these one guys for are going to
rally
yeah.
around everything that they can. I mean, this is how sports teams operate. They rally around what they can. But I think when you've got Ant and when you've got McDaniels, that first half tonight, oh my God, when he plays like that, I'm not sure about you. I love that because he's got that. I'm going to get you gene as well. He's not as talented as Ant, but man, when he plays clamps defense, he doesn't let go.
Well, and then when he gets the offense going too, I mean, it's such a secret weapon when, I would say if Jaden McDaniels gives you clamps defense and 15 plus points, like good luck if everyone else is healthy. So, I had just for fun here, I pulled up the box score from the last time the Timberwolves clinched a playoff series. Mm-hmm. And now this was a game 7 Target Center, Kevin Garnett loading up the clips, the Uzis, the joints with silencers on them, as he said in the famous quote. So game 7, a little bit different trip to the Western Conference Finals on the line, but the KG dominance in the second half of that game and just the absolute refusal to lose reminded me of the Anthony Edwards second half we just saw. I mean, so KG scored 14 points in the fourth. It was an 83-80 win over Sacramento on May 19th of 2004. But it was a signature moment for KG up on the scores table, thumping his chest after the game, and he winds up with 32-21, 5 blocks, 4 steals, hits a big 3 in the fourth quarter of that game. And so in games like that, KG would go to that next level oftentimes where, okay, I'll grab all the rebounds I need to. I will go to my classic fadeaway 15-footer low block, you know, dagger shot.
Right.
I don't know, man. Like, Anthony Edwards has, we've seen now three different playoff series, and he has risen up above his regular season level of play every single time. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a blast to watch. And he's 22 years old.
And the nice thing about this one was his teammates at various times all came along for the ride, but pulled their weight, which we haven't seen previously. Like, mm-hmm. that's the thing to me. We have seen Carl have good playoff games. We've never seen him have a series like this, or even close. The consistency, right? You know, you go back to the loss last season, and Jaden was out, and Nas, who didn't have a particularly strong series this time around, but he could in the second round, you know, he was out. So that's the thing to me is, like, Ant did what Ant does, and it's incredibly impressive, but he also got the infrastructure, the support this time. And it's like tonight with Jaden and Kat. And Kat, you know, Kat did a lot. And if Kat doesn't have that first half, I don't know that Ant can save them in the second half.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, they had to. That's the other thing, too. The Suns were just bombarding the Wolves with threes and the whistle. And if it wasn't for Carl knocking down some huge threes, like you said, grabbing some rebounds, just stay within. It kind of felt like if you can just kind of be within three, be within five, you know, that the Suns are going to wind up just. John Krasinski referred to them as a glass jaw team in The Athletic the other day. And that's exactly what they are. If you can just.
Yeah.
If you can just stay in the fight, eighth round, ninth round.
They're in there, bang, bang.
Yeah. You'll get that knockout punch at some point. And they did. I mean, Bradley Beal, look at the two. Jim Peete talked about last week. I can't remember exactly how he quantified it, but he said the Wolves have someone who's like a team cohesiveness analytics coach that literally, like, they have metrics for team cohesiveness. So how many touches, how many times are you high-fiving, pointing at a teammate, praising a teammate, and you rack up points doing positive things with team cohesiveness. And then conversely, you can rack up negative points for eye rolls or blaming someone or harumph body language. And when he brought that up after game two, I started watching more closely. When you watch the Suns, man, like, it is just negative body language, negative energy. Bradley Beal, you know, with that Wizards DNA that he's had for the last 8 years.
Beal had a terrible series. He was absolutely. That's what I was going to say. Bradley Beal spent this series looking like a guy who had played for a long time with a bad team, but who always got his.
Yep.
His statistics were good. But yeah, I mean, this Wolves team too, all season long, their calling card has been the fact that they play defense. Like, the Wolves, if you look at what they do on the floor, to me, it's reflective of why they're successful. Because, I mean, they do things that probably aren't fun. Defense doesn't look like a ton of fun, but they play.
But they make it fun.
Yeah, swarm. But yeah. I don't think that you can have in sports. I don't think that you can have like two guys that decide we're just going to play the defense and everyone else is going to take a powder. I mean, look at Ant. Ant's defense at times is absolutely spectacular. There's a lot of guys who are of Ant stature who ain't going to be bothered to do what he does consistently, which is why I think it was game two when his stats weren't great or his scoring wasn't great, right? And everyone said to us, oh, he had a bad game. It's like, no, he didn't score as much, but look at all the other things he did. Like, that's how you win. Yeah. These series, I think playoff series in sports are hell. Like, I think they are not supposed to be fun. They're supposed to be trying to get through the muck to try and win. And the Timberwolves did, in my opinion, a marvelous job in this series.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, we've talked about, like, I have a poker background. And oftentimes when you play in these, like, poker tournaments, the World Series of Poker, and you watch the highlights on ESPN or TV, like, they're only showing you the big hands where someone has aces and someone has a flush versus a full house or something, right? But, like, to win a high-level long poker tournament, it's really about the hands that you don't play. It's about making the right decision hand after hand after hand, which a lot of times means eating your vegetables, folding this, that.
Right.
And when you watch the Timberwolves play in this series, it was just like every defensive rotation. It's just like the meticulous things. It's the middle of the third quarter. You're up 3-0. You can probably lose this game and just go clinch at home. The officials aren't really calling it your way. They're still with 3 seconds left on the shot clock. They're still hitting the ninth rotation in a half court defensive set. You know, like they're just obsessed with doing the little meticulous things. Anthony Edwards. Okay. It's the fourth game that you guys are running a trap at me in the half court. Okay. I guess I'll just make the boring pass over here. And then we'll just get into our offense in a different way. Like, He didn't get Anthony Edwards, particularly as a 22-year-old, he didn't get bored at all in the series. He didn't get frustrated. They literally ran half court double teams and traps at him for almost every single possession. Mm-hmm. And he just probed and made the right play 95% of the time.
And then, when he decided that he was the one guy who could basically dagger the Suns, He did that too, but he didn't try and do it. Here's where there is a huge maturity factor with Ant. He didn't try and do it for entire games. He basically did his job, and then when it came to Cojones time, he's like, okay, move aside. Let's talk about Scott Foster for a second, though, because I heard, you know, there's been a lot of complaining, and I know he's not good. Okay, there's a lot of NBA officials who probably aren't good. Scott Foster being one of them. But I would argue, for all the moaning that was done in this town tonight, getting a win with Scott Foster officiating is another check mark.
Sure.
Because what we didn't see was everyone melting down. Like, Jim Pete might have been ticked off. He was ticked off. Fans on X were ticked off. Wolves fans were, right? But the Wolves didn't allow it to affect them. And how big of a step is that? Like, earlier this season, there were games in which, Gobert, foul trouble, almost the whole night. And yes, he complained at times. But in the third quarter, when he picked up the quick foul and then was removed for the entirety of that quarter, he started to complain, and then he pulled himself back and just walked away.
Yep. It's whether it's a Scott Foster or whether it's Devin Booker and Kevin Durant combining for 80-plus points. There's just certain things that are going to happen. The superstar players are going to go off, and officials are going to have games that aren't in your favor. Can you rise above it anyways? And can you not get sucked into it and become a victim? And there's been so many Timberwolves teams over the years, the last 10 to 15 years, the Kevin Love Rubio teams felt like this, where they would just start melting in the second half, or the game would get close and they would just wither. The crowd would get into it on the road, and they would just make dumb decisions. Some of these teams, even the last couple of years when the Wolves have been good in a playoff team, this team is a bunch of dogs, man. Like, it is the first time. It feels like a Kevin Garnett DNA team. Mm-hmm. And Anthony Edwards seems to have that Kevin Garnett DNA as well. But so does Mike Conley, and so does Nikhil Alexander-Walker, and so does Jaden McDaniels and Rudy Gobert. Like, they literally have like six dudes, Kyle Anderson,
which they've never had,
up and down the roster, just a bunch of dogs, and the high level skill unicorn of Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards. And so, I don't know, like, the it's one series, it's a huge series, it's one of the biggest series in franchise history. But if they play the way that they did against the Suns, they can win the championship.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing.
They could certainly get there. And yes. And the best part about it is, at least in this series, they played like a team that thinks that. The other thing, though, it's one series, but I think, to be very clear, like, it's sort of a nebulous term when you just talk about culture, you know, Heat culture. We set a culture. And I think people can roll their eyes at that. And they're like, well, what does that mean exactly? When you win, when you basically go into a playoff series and you're the Minnesota Timberwolves and you sweep the Suns, including winning two games in their building, that sets a culture that is beyond anything else. Like, you could go team bonding, you can go bowling, you can win regular mm-hmm. season games. You can say we're going to play lockdown defense. But when it pays off with a playoff series win that looked like that one did, that's a culture. And dare I say that I do think that this might have been the first time that I think Cat completely got swept up in that culture. Like, what I saw tonight was somebody who was completely swept up and in all four games. But I thought tonight was the biggest mark of it. That was what you're talking about. Like, tonight is where you know, if in 3 years this team is really good still and they're just, to me, this series was a huge, if there's a stepping stones, this was a huge part of that culture.
Reference points. And in fairness to Cat, he came up through so much, just the tumultuous turnover and some of the bad rosters and the, you know, like the Charlie Brown getting the football pulled up was part of what he grew up on in the NBA. And until you have teams that can create new reference points where, no, despite some adversity, we are going to win. We are going to sweep, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now, like, the positive reinforcement is starting to be the framework of this organization here slowly the last 2 or 3 years. But at some point, like, you got to win a playoff series to really build that foundation. Yeah. And here we are.
Exactly.
So,
Super impressive.
I'm just looking through trying to see if there's any other interesting news nuggets. You know, the for those of you just joining us here, by the way, almost 3,000 people hanging out on the Score North YouTube channel this live Flagrant Howls at midnight going into a work week. But yeah, if you haven't already, please click the like button and the subscribe button on the Score North YouTube channel. And maybe you're new to Flagrant Howls. Our guy Kyle Tige is in Phoenix. I think we're going to try and connect with him tomorrow between travels. Otherwise, we'll hit him up a couple times this week. Jim Peterson is a weekly guest on Flagrant Howls. And by the way, tonight was the last night because the local broadcast crews only pick up the first round. So sadly, this was the last Jim Peterson, Michael Grady game of the season. So
I wonder if they're going to put Jim Pete on the Horton.
Yep. He talked about that on Flagrant Howls last week, actually. I think that they might. I can't remember if it was on mic or off mic, but like that's a discussion that he might join.
They definitely should.
So especially like the deeper they go, like, dude, Jim, we need your voice somewhere. And you can find it on Flagrant Howls at least once a week. Maybe.
And if this team makes the finals, Jim Peterson in some way, shape or form,
it's got to be part of it. Yeah.
There's a lot of people that I think we both feel really good for. Jim Pete. I mean, Jim Pete has been at this job in either the TV or radio side for about 25 years now. Our guy Mune.
Jeff Municki.
Municki's been there since day one.
Day one.
He's stuck OG with him through all this. So I mean, there are certain people I feel great for, but Jim Pete is the public voice as far as I'm concerned. So yes, he should definitely be involved.
I have a hot take, actually. I think there's a chance. I don't know if you've seen any of the Knicks Sixers series so far, but the Knicks are playing out of their minds. And the Sixers have kind of a broken Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. The Celtics always feel like there's just a little something off and they just come up a little short. There's a chance we could see a Knicks Timberwolves finals. I get it. We're not even done with the first round, but I think if there's one team that can knock off Boston, it's not going to be like the Bucks are down 3-1 now. Oh, like Indiana's not winning that series.
Dame's hurt now too, right? So Dame's out. No, they're done.
So they're kind of cooked. And then the Sixers are down now, 3-1 to the Knicks.
Yep.
I could see the Knicks giving Boston a series. Wouldn't it be something if it was Tom Thibodeau with the Knicks in a month against this version of the Timberwolves? Just throwing it out there. I want to be first on this take if it happens.
If that takes place when Tibbs starts to scout the Wolves, he might root for his former team because that defense will make him weep.
Yeah, well, the Knicks play some defense too, man. But like,
I know, but he would be proud Wolves,
of. Yeah,
this is what he was. This not what he wanted. Like he wanted this so bad. Now he didn't have the players, but I mean, there were points tonight, and I think you could say this, that there were points in the first half of this series, more than one game, where I thought I was watching the Pistons circa 90 or the Knicks Rockets circa 95. Yeah. Like, it was that brutal. I mean, Finchie literally got hurt because Conley was selling out to hustle so much.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it was, it did feel very throwback. It felt throwback, but it also felt new school in some ways too, just because of like Anthony Edwards and,
but and God, the second halves then got to be a little bit more fun. But I mean, my God, the throwdown of defense the first half of times was just spectacular. And to their credit tonight, they withheld the whistles, I thought, in the first half quite a bit. Like, they could have called way more. Yeah. Thank God they didn't. I basically thought if the Wolves are going to play like this in the first half and not get fouls constantly, it's going to work out pretty well for them.
Yeah. Just another thing too, like, people have kind of made the early Michael Jordan comparisons to Anthony Edwards, which, I mean, it's hard to compare anyone to Michael Jordan. But when you see Anthony Edwards in these huge games, stealing play, you know, stealing the ball, creating opportunities in transition, and then namely when he gets his back to the basket and does the shoulder shake fadeaway for the dagger late in the fourth quarter, like, it's become one of his signature moves, and it is Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant to a T.
Yeah,
he has clearly like perfected that move. And KG used to do that too. He was one of the first big men to kind of do that shoulder shake baseline fadeaway. But like, there are little flashes, man, like that. Just that refusal to lose and the ability to rise out of the muck in a game and hit that little fadeaway. So we'll see. I don't know. This is uncharted territory right now for the Timberwolves and Timberwolves fans. And it's going to be super fun. Bring on the Nuggets.
What's your first? So I'm going to assume that Denver will get by the Lakers. What's your first thought?
7-game series.
Oh, God.
I think it's a 7-game series. I really do. I mean, the Wolves kind of gave Denver hell in a 5-game series without Jaden McDaniels and Naz Reid last year. And you might make a case that last year's Denver team was deeper and better than this year's, but you're still dealing with Jokic and Jamal Murray. But that the problem with Denver is they are so precise. They know exactly what they're doing at every minute of a basketball game. The Wolves look a lot more like that now than a year ago.
Look like that in this series.
They did.
There was a lot of precision.
But I mean, Denver makes so few mistakes. So it's going to be a really, really, if they close out against the Lakers, which I expect them to.
Yeah.
That series is going to be a freaking war.
What's Denver's depth like as a whole, do you think? Because I mean, I didn't realize the Suns basically had no depth.
Yeah,
and when Grayson got hurt, they were really screwed.
Yeah, I mean,
depth is good.
I think the Wolves have, Boston has depth. I think the Wolves have more depth than any team in the West because they can. I mean, they've kind of cut down a little bit, and part of it was this series. It wasn't really a Kyle Anderson series as much, and then he had the hit pointer, so they kind of like, he played 17 minutes tonight, but it was very much like a reduced Kyle Anderson series.
Yep.
Monte Morris didn't play tonight too, but the Wolves can roll. The Wolves can pretty easily roll 9 deep in a playoff series comfortably. And that doesn't count. Like, at some point I could see Jordan McLaughlin getting into a game in a different series, 'cause he's become a 3-point shooter. There's not a lot of teams that can comfortably play 9, maybe 10 guys in a playoff series. So yeah. And then we barely touched on this, but this was one of Rudy Gobert's worst games of the playoffs, and they still won. Foul trouble, only played 25 minutes. He missed a bunch of short shots at the rim. He only had 5 rebounds in 25 minutes in this game, bunch of turnovers. So you're not going to see Rudy play like that very often. And that's the other crazy thing about this series. This wasn't a great series for the Wolves to be playing all of their big men and doing the big man thing. Like, they still made it work, and they made it work to their advantage, dominating the rebound battle. But I almost feel like in some crazy way, the Wolves personnel stacks up against Denver. Like, I know that in retrospect, the Phoenix takes were wrong, but like, there's a reason why a lot of people had Phoenix as a tougher matchup than the Nuggets for the Timberwolves going in. So, but now you can like Denver's biggest superhuman strength besides Jokic is just their size makes teams uncomfortable, but their size doesn't make the Timberwolves right, uncomfortable.
They match it up.
So, yeah, well, it's going to be so much fun. Oh man.
I think the most important thing, or among the most important things, just from a strategic standpoint, that the Wolves did starting with game one was they wore the Suns down. And yes, James, I am still up. Warrior, I'm not so sure. But they wore the Suns down. And I'm not joking when I say, I think in some ways, very early on, they took away the Suns' will to play. The Suns look miserable. The yeah. Suns look like they wanted no part. Yeah. And the week to prepare for the Suns also, I mean, Chris Finch came up with some absolutely masterful strategies mm-hmm. to come out and say, we're not going to put Jaden on Durant. It's going to be Booker. Immediately flustered, at least at the time, Booker. So I'm curious to see what if there's something they're going to do for Joker that won't be something that we totally expect.
Yeah. Well, they'll have plenty of time, and Finch won't be able to do much other than just put a knee brace on and study film. People, by the way, people are acting like Finch died or something. Like he's still gonna, coach in some capacity, right? So it's a gonna have to have knee surgery.
Yeah, a patellar is bad. It's not good. I thought it was an ACL.
But is he okay? So patellar. I guess we don't know yet. Is he gonna like? He's going to be involved in the strategy and the preparation still. He just might not be able to be directly on the sideline.
The patellar tendon connects the bottom of the kneecap to the top of the shin bone, the tibia. So if he needs surgery, I don't know. But yeah, he didn't die. I've seen some stuff like that. It looked bad. I think he was born 3 days after me. I can tell you right now, if Mike Conley trucked my ass, it would look bad too. People in their mid-50s aren't meant to be trucked by professional athletes. So, like, it probably looked worse because the players surrounded him. You know, he didn't, like, pass out. He was
It wasn't like a compound fracture.
Yeah, or anything. You know, so it looked bad. He'll be fine. The series was very, very tough. Mike Inouye will be
secondhand man. Yes.
Finchie, if nothing else, can chip in with film work from the hospital room. I'm telling you, not joking one bit here, it's another rallying thing. Athletes are like that, man. They're going to rally for him.
So a big cat tweeted out, are we going to get Finch on a scooter for the rest of the playoffs? The Wolves might be a team of destiny.
Going back
and forth. Can we get him a motorized cart? Just sit there? Just go back and forth.
Take a wheel around the court like that for a timeout. Come out in the court, guys, stop, then go back and address the players.
Oh, man. So, all right, we should probably put a wrap on this here so we can get early a couple hours tomorrow of sleep. And
we got an early morning. This has been a long weekend.
Yeah, pump up. Man, if you're a Vikings fan and a Timberwolves fan, this has been a nice little week and a half here.
What about a Twins fan?
Twins haven't lost in a week. Very exciting. Yeah. So, wow. Let's do it one more time here. The Minnesota Timberwolves, folks, are back.
Wolves back. First time in a long time.
First playoff series win in 20 years. Anthony Edwards,
I was younger
Carl
than you.
Anthony Towns.
The last time these guys won a series.
It's crazy, man.
34, I think. Yeah.
Yep. I have a feeling that it's not going to be another 20 years until their next playoff series win. With Anthony Edwards being 22 years old.
I would hope not.
Thank you guys for hanging out with us here late into this Sunday night. He's the sports dad, Judd Zilgad. I'm Phil Mackey. This is a Timberwolves Lifestyle Podcast.